My, it's good to be here with you all this morning. It's amazing how God does things. Already in this service, God has confirmed what I chose by the leading of the Holy Spirit to share with you this morning. He's confirmed it twice. Pastor quoted the scriptures I'm going to read to you to start with, and then one of the testimonies was just right along on the same plane that God has taken me this morning. So anyway, it's an honor to be here. I've got to come and meet the people here in the church and meet your pastors, and it's just such a joy and such a pleasure. You know, we've just got wonderful brothers and sisters all over the world. Amen. And that is just so fine. Glory be to God. Well, I would say to you this morning that I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Amen. I'm almost to the end of my journey, but I would not be surprised if Jesus didn't come before we get out of this service. Even he could come at any moment, and it would just be wonderful if we could all just go the airway instead of about through the ground and up again. That would just be wonderful. But I know that God has a plan, and he has a perfect plan for us. And so anyway, I want you to go with me this morning to the book of Acts. And you'll see that the pastor just a while ago kind of was all over this scripture. Praise God. You know, when you preach, you do your very best, and pastor can confirm that, you do your very best to know what the Spirit of the Lord would have you to say. Because you are people out here that are looking for answers in your life, whatever they might be, and you're looking for ways that you can draw closer to the Lord. And so that is our privilege when we stand in the sacred desk to declare the Word of God, to bring things to you that will bless you and inspire you and cause you to live and walk closer to the Lord. Amen? Yeah. So if you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to the book of Acts, the second chapter, starting with the first verse. And you are going to recall this has already been stated this morning. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. I'm here this morning to tell you, of course, the most important thing in your life is that you know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. If you don't know him yet this morning, you need to become acquainted with him today before you ever leave here. You need to be ready to meet the Lord. And then past that, you need to be filled with God's Spirit. You need to be endowed and endued with power from on high, as the Spirit of God would give you utterance. God wants to lead us by his own Spirit. You know, we don't want to be led by what we think or what we might think would be the right thing. But I know by myself, I want to know, what does the Lord say? What does the Lord want me to do? Because that's what I will answer for, is what God wanted me to do. So I want to be finding out what he would have me to do, and where, what he would have me to be up and about the master's business with. I thank God for the call on my life. I knew it from the time I was saved, and I think I said something about that the other night, but I was saved at a very young age of about 11 years old, and just very shortly thereafter filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm 83 now, so that's about 71 years of following the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't boast in it, but I just boast in the fact that God saved me when I was young. Hallelujah. And I've been able to give my life to Him. And I knew from the beginning, as I told you before, I knew what God had told me to do. He had told me to preach the gospel. He had placed on my heart a pastoral call. And I always tell people, if you don't think that God called me to preach the gospel, well, I'm sorry, I know better, because I've already been preaching. Amen. Lo, these many years, and I have seen God honor His word. I have seen Him save people. I've seen Him heal people. I've seen Him fill them with the Holy Ghost. I've seen devils come out. I've seen all kinds of things that God does, done through the ministry. And I've seen God raise up churches. So I know good and well that God called me to preach. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, Pastor was talking the other night about, you know, that there isn't any difference in male and female. As far as God's concerned, we all just look alike. Amen. There's neither male nor female. That's what He said. And there's neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew nor Greek. God doesn't distinguish us. God doesn't put us apart. But He treats us all just exactly the same. Amen. Folks, if you don't draw nigh unto the Lord, it's your own fault. The Lord said, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. But we got to do the first step out.
Right.
We've got to step out to the Lord. We've got to want to be filled with Him. We want to be led by Him. Glory be to God. The Lord, even in this sermon, I was kind of going to go another way. And God said, no, this is the way I want you to go. And folks, I want to be able to know what God wants me to do and go that exact route. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. All right. This scripture that we have read to you was the time of the beginning of the church. It was just now being birthed, if you please. Jesus was leaving them. And He said, but I want you to do something. I want you to go to Jerusalem. And I want you to stay there until you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't leave until you get it. Amen. My advice to you today is, don't leave today till you get it. Amen. It's right there for you, just to reach out and receive it. And so God would say to us, I want you to be filled. And this is the way that He wanted His church to go forth. And if we had the time to read it all, we would find out where they did exactly that. They went out in the power and in the anointing of the Lord. And one, I guess it was the first sermon they preached, they said there were about 3,000 people added to the church. What a phenomenal thing. And then it just goes on a few more verses, and it said there were 5,000 men added. So now there was also, I'm sure, some women and some children along in that count, but they only counted the men that day. But I'm telling you, God is saying, I want you to go forth and I want you to do what I want you to do. God is going to do something so supernatural here. You all are just going to stand in awe.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart that your building, your land, your place where you're going to occupy is very, very soon to be revealed. And I believe that it's going to be a place that is already has property on it. It has buildings. I think you're just going to be able to go in and You're going to go, what the Bible say, you're going to go where you didn't build homes and you didn't plant vineyards, but you're just going to go in and enjoy what's there. Amen. And I believe that God has something just that supernatural that you guys are going to walk into, and you are going to be so blessed because God is going to give you a facility that you can do so many things that is in your heart to do for the kingdom of God. But we need to be equipped. And if we are born again this morning, we must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That we need to seek. Jesus, he just said it's so important.
Yes.
You go there to Jerusalem and don't you leave. Right. You tarry until you receive. Folks, my advice to you is be in every prayer call. We used to, the old church, some of you probably don't remember it, but we used to always have altar calls, we called them. And whenever church was over, most everybody went and prayed for a while. It might not have been long, and it might have been a long time. The night that I received the Holy Ghost, it was in the wee hours of the morning, to my knowledge, when I finally received it. But I want you to know one thing. It came. Oh, it came. Hasolibekea. It just came down like floods of glory. And I began to speak with tongues, and they just flowed out of me. I was just a little kid. I didn't really hardly know what I got. I started, my sister pointed me towards an Assembly of God church in California. And she got me to go. They always went up to the altar to pray. And I didn't know what I really didn't know what they were doing. I was just that young. And I'd tell everybody, I'd say, is it time to cry? That's all I knew. I went up there and I bawled and I squalled and I cried out to God. I didn't know really what I was doing. I called it a time to cry. But there came that time that I knew, even though I was young, I knew that I needed that further experience. I knew that I needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it was in the time of a revival. And so I went and I prayed there. And finally, I guess God had mercy on the poor people that were staying up to keep me up. And they had to take me home. The pastor and his wife had to take me home after church. And maybe God said, well, we better fill her. Or she's going to keep those people up forever. Because I wasn't about to give up. But I tell you what, when it came, it stayed. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I appreciate having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because I want to tell you that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, is going to do things for you. My brother back there giving that testimony, he touched on some of those things. God will show you things. He will show you things in the spirit realm, and he will also show you things in the natural.
Yes.
Okay. Whoa. That he will. Praise God. If I had time, I could tell you testimony after testimony after testimony. Visions and dreams and open visions and all kinds of things through my life that God has showed me, and it left no doubt whatsoever. Amen. I know in whom I have believed. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that he wants me empowered. Praise be unto God. It hadn't been too long ago till the reality hit me that, you know, we have this treasure. God says it's a treasure that's in an earthen vessel. God gave us that treasure when he filled us with his Spirit. But, you know, we're kindly people. You know, we are just prone to take things for granted. And we say, oh, well, yeah, we've got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. And we talk in tongues now and then. But, you know, God wants us to pray in our prayer language, in other tongues, as much as possible. Amen. Because folks, I'm telling you, when you do that, you're going to get revelation. The Spirit of God is going to show you things. He said, I'll show you things to come. I will lead you and I will guide you. I tell you, it hit me like a ton of brick. And I said, oh my God, I need to pray more in the Spirit. And I'm trying by the grace of God every time I think about it. If I'm not talking in tongues, I start right away. Amen. Because I know that that is how God is going to lead me, guide me, and direct me. Now I'm going to tell you, we have got millionaires, and the pastor talked about the billionaires and the millionaires in Dr. Cho's church. Amen. Well, God can have millionaires and billionaires in Believers Fellowship. Amen. Wouldn't you like to be one of them? I wouldn't mind it. Hallelujah. God wants to bless us. And we must begin to really, really, really get a hold of the horns of the altars of God and let the Spirit of God begin to come forth in us and teach us and lead us into all righteousness, right things, good things. We think about Gates, and I don't know all their names, all the wonderful scientists, the astronaut scientific stuff goes on, all these kind of things that they're way over my head, but I know that there's people that have tapped into that and they've been able to know these things. And I mean, the little devices that we hold in our hands a lot of the time, sometimes too much, but anyway, I won't go to meddling, but you know, we just get enthralled in some of these things. But the thing of it is, God would like to give these kinds of things to his people. It doesn't have to be Bill Gates or somebody else. It could be you. How much do you want it? God says that he gives us witty inventions. You could be a great inventor. You've got some ideas swirling around in your head. You could be doing about anything. If you're a lady, you could be another Betty Crocker, Paula Deen, I don't know, whoever. You could come up with a concept that would make you a millionaire and put you on the front page. But folks, you and I are going to have to pay a price. These things, they just don't fall on you. You've got to seek. You've got to seek after the Lord and seek after righteousness. So I said, Lord, I'm in. I'm in on this. I know how to talk in tongues because the Spirit of God does it through me. Amen. It's not even any effort. I just open my mouth and let her fly. Glory be to God. It's right there. Hallelujah. It's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's just right inside of your mouth. You just want to start speaking and start letting revelation begin to come into your life, because this is what God wants to do. He wants to have a people that their mind is upon him. Praise God. I tell you, we're living in perilous times. We're living in times that we better keep our minds on the Lord. There are so many bad things out there, and the enemy would love to trip any one of us up. Would he ever shout and dance because he would steal a voice that was telling about Jesus, and he'd love it. Amen. My Lord. I look at what all's in the world and I say, thank God my children are raised, because there is so much out there. But you know, God will give us wisdom. God will empower us to teach our children and to raise them up, that they would shun the very appearance of evil, that they would not want to live with somebody that's their same sex. You know, even animals know better than that. A male dog won't chase a male dog, amen? And cattle, a bull won't chase another bull. They've got more sense than we have. I tell you, you look at it and it's like, what is wrong with people? Where have they been all their life? And you know, and we don't even hear that preached about enough. But it's just becoming more and more rampant. But we need to be filled with the Spirit of God and say, Lord, you show me what's right. You show me what's wrong. It's not what Naomi thinks. It's what you think.
That's right.
Hallelujah. What do you say about it, Lord? That's the direction that I want to take in my life. Praise be unto God.
Amen.
Whoa. I tell you, God is awesome.
Amen.
And I just want to share just a few things that the Lord has shown me by His Spirit about 40, well, it was in 69, whatever that would be, 40-something years ago. I had my third child, and I already had two little girls, which we love very much and appreciated, but it was our desire that we could have a little boy. And sure enough, God gave us a beautiful son, and I named him Timothy Todd, and my name then was Thomason, and that. So they were all T's, amen? But I was so proud, and of course my husband was walking on water nearly because he wanted a son. But you know, just within a few hours, he was born perfectly well and healthy, not a thing wrong with him, a beautiful child. And they came into my room and they told me, they said, well, your baby is getting a problem, and we're going to take him to Scott and White Hospital in Temple. And he was born in Gatesville, Texas. And so I said, well, okay. So they took him, but I carried him too long, and he'd some of the, whatever that is, got in his lungs, and it eventually killed him. He died from that there just within 2 or 3 hours after they got him there. And of course it was such a awful thing to go through. And I mean, I was pastoring a church and working. I've got pictures of me working for the Lord, and I was out in the creeks and the rivers baptizing people and doing all kinds of stuff when I was carrying that baby. And you know, I didn't understand it, but I knew God had a reason, though I didn't know what. My sister came to visit me, one of my sisters, and she when she walked in the room at the hospital, she said, well, God is, he's just unfair. He's just not done right by this. And I said, no, God never makes a mistake. He knew exactly what he was doing, and it's all in his hands. And of course, like I say, it wasn't easy to get through, but God got me through it. But that day after this, after they let me know that the baby had passed away, of course, I was in the maternity ward, and they said, we're going to put you in a private room, which I was glad because they were bringing all the babies in for the mothers, and it wasn't real pleasant, you know. So I was happy about that. So they put me in this room by myself. And the room had Venetian blinds. And I was laying there on the bed, and I was just looking at the blank wall, just looking at the wall, laying in that bed, looking over there. And all of a sudden, I began to see on that wall, I began to see, it looked like shadows kind of coming on that wall. And I thought, well, what's that? And I kept looking. I kept looking, and I began, then things began to take shape, and I saw the Lord, and he was walking, and he was walking towards an angel. An angel was coming, and here was Jesus walking towards him, and I looked, and Jesus held my baby in his arms, and he walked up to that angel. And I just kept observing, and I saw his sandals. I saw the flowing of the garments down by his ankles, and I could see that he had on sandals. And he stood there for a little bit, and he and the angel were talking. And then he took the baby, and he placed that baby in the angel's arms. And in all this thing, behind me, I was behind Jesus walking, and my husband was on the other side of me walking behind Jesus when he took that baby up there and put it in that angel's arms. And then all of a sudden, it just began to fade out, and it left. Now, that was an open vision. I was wide awake. It was not a dream, but it was actually an open vision that God showed me that. Well, my husband at that time, he was a backslider. He had just been on fire for God, but he was backslid and away from God. And of course, I was praying all the time, and our church was praying that God would save him and bring him back into the kingdom. And we prayed and we prayed, and the years went by. A lot of bad things happened to me, but I just kept on going. Amen. He found another woman, and he wanted a divorce. And of course, that was the last thing on earth that I wanted. But finally, God told me. Folks, God will talk to you.
Yes.
He said, I've told you once, and I've told you twice. And I said, God, you don't have to say another word. I know what you're trying to tell me. God told me. He said, you've got to get out of this. You don't belong in this. It had got messy and trashy. And I was a pastor in that town. And God said, you've got to get out of it. So I said, whatever you say, Lord, I've got to do that. So I did. I went ahead, and we were divorced. But I never, ever quit praying for his soul. You know, if any of you's ever been married more than one time, there's always a feeling of care for that other one. I don't know if anybody here's ever gone through this. I hope you haven't. But I was determined that his soul would be saved. And I believe that God showed me that open vision that myself and my husband were walking behind going into glory. And I said, Lord, I'm taking that as your word.
Amen.
That you are going to save my husband, that he will be saved. And so, of course, I continued through the years. There's so much has happened to me, I can't tell you all of it, but that happened. And this is going to be hard to believe, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It's so. I went, I was just about 40 or 41 years old when all that happened. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be a widow all my life. I said, I'm too young. I want to have a life. And I want to enjoy a family. So anyway, God gave me another husband, and he was a jewel. And I could tell you how he did all that, and that was miraculous. But anyway, he did. I got the man of my dreams. I always told him that he, what's his name, the movie star, Dolly? Paul Newman. I said, I got my Paul Newman. But I mean, he looked like him. I mean, he was handsome. And he came to my church that I'd started in Killeen, and I met him there. God had told me, he said, I'm going to give you, your husband. I knew he was going to give me somebody else. He said, your Homer record is going to be Kentucky. Well, if any of you are familiar with military, that that's your home of record, wherever the person in the military is from. And so I said, okay. So anyway, so I came to the church one night that I was pastoring, and the people were already in there, the musicians and the band, and everybody was all fired up. And so I went in, and but as I started to go in, I saw this car. And this car had Kentucky license plates. And I said, that's interesting. So anyway, so I went on in, and there was a gentleman that was sitting kind of towards the back of the church. And I went in and made him welcome and told him I was glad to have him. I just assumed that he was bringing his family. That's usually what would happen. They would come in, and then their families would be moved to where they were in service. And so I did that, and I went on, and come to find out, the evangelist, we were in revival, and the evangelist found out, her and her husband were evangelists, and she found out that that he wasn't married. Well, he was divorced, but anyway, and they were going to have a fish fry at my house. And a bunch of the church people were coming over. You know, we were down there where they had all those good catfish and everything, you know. But anyway, and so we were going to have this cook-off. So she said, I'm going to invite him over to that day for that fellowship. I said, well, that's okay. And so anyway, within 6 weeks, we were married. God did a mighty thing. And I said, I tell everybody that that I got my hunk and he got his chunk, and we were good to go, amen. But folks, I'm telling you, if you will stay before God and pray in the Spirit, God will show you so many things. And then I told you that one part so I could tell you the rest of this story. Later. In years, my first husband, he came down with cancer and was dying, and my second husband, he and my daughter, which was really the daughter of my first husband, because I didn't have children by my second husband, but anyway, and so they were the ones that got to go and take care of my first husband. My daughter had just been in a car wreck and broke her arm, and she had it in one of those things that you can't move, you know. And so my husband went with her, and we were close. Everybody knew everybody, and there wasn't any ill feelings. And so he helped take care of my first husband, and he led him back to the Lord. Now, that may sound like a strange story, but it really happened. He led him back to the Lord. And Gary told me, he said, Naoma, he said, he was in in a hospital bed there. And he said said he would just get so excited. And he would just rub his feet, back of his heels on the bed, and just like, and he said, if I could just run. He said, I'm so happy. I could just absolutely run. And we knew, and he told us things that happened to him. He'd hear angels, and he'd hear bells from heaven and all kinds of things. And so we knew that God had saved his soul. And that was a prayer that his dear mother had prayed forever. And of course, we all had prayed for him. We don't, folks, I don't want to see anybody lost. I don't care if they're, I don't know if I've got a worst enemy. You know, I'm just real funny. I just think, my husband told me one time, Gary did, he said, Naomi, you've got to realize everybody doesn't love us. And I said, really? You know, that's hard for me to comprehend, because I always trust people, I always love them, and I want to be a blessing to them. And that was just so hard for me to comprehend, but everybody doesn't love you, I don't guess. But I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy, if I have one, anything wrong. I want people to be blessed. Folks, this life is short any way you want to cut it. And I want to reap all the good and all the good benefits from it as I go along. But my thought is to encourage you today to seek after the Lord until you are filled with His Spirit. If you have to go up for every prayer call, anybody walks by you, would you pray for me? Whatever. Just go after it with all the gusto that you have in you. Receive, and then I'm going to hear, they're going to share with me some of the things that God is going to show you after you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in other tongues as the evidence of the Lord is given forth. Okay, now I'm going to turn this over to you. Is our time up? I don't know. I get long-winded. Okay. Praise God. Oh, my. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anyway, the promise is unto us. All we have to do is to just reach out and receive it and receive the power of the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to be empowered to serve the Lord. You know, I want to do it. Folks, I want my service to the Lord to be excellent. I don't want any mediocre job done by me. I want to strive, and I do strive for excellence. Now, I may miss it sometimes, I'm sure I do. But my desire is that I strive for excellence. That's what the Lord would want us to do, that we strive to be an excellent server of the Lord. And that's what I want to do. Hallelujah. That scripture, Proverbs 8 and 12th verse says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Amen. And you know, the people that God used even in the building of the tabernacle and all those things, there were people that they were anointed. They had an anointing to work with whatever craft that it was that they were working for in building the tabernacle exactly how the Lord said He wanted it done. So you have talents and abilities that God wants to impart on you. But like myself, I've got to get a hold of it. I've got to lay hold of it. I've got to find it out. I've got to dig in and do my duty and get a hold of what God has for me. Amen. Praise God. These are the last days. Now, that prophecy that we read, that was the prophecy of Joel. And he said, in the last days, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Now, I know that it's come already, but if I was going to try to get it where we might understand it better, I might say we're in the last of the last days.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That Holy Ghost has already come. Because before, the Holy Ghost didn't dwell on the inside of you. He led you, but you didn't have it on the inside like you got it now. Praise God. You get saved with the Spirit of the Lord, of course. But that infilling, that imparting, that comes separate. And it is so needful for our lives that we can serve the Lord even better. Now, I'm going to give you a good illustration out of the Scripture. It said, Paul said that I speak with tongues more than you all. So what about Paul? What can we say about Paul? I've heard it said, and I guess it's about that way. They say that Paul wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. And when Paul got saved, when he was Saul and he got knocked off his donkey and God really talked to him, he had a great encounter with the Lord. And the scripture tells us that he was separated from the others for 3 to 3.5 years. Folks, he went to the backside of the desert. He went to, I think it was Arabia. And in that length of time, he must have talked in tongues almost constantly. Because when he came back, he was able to give us all the writings that he did give us that we can learn from today and know how to live a Christian life. But folks, don't you know, he said, I speak with tongues more than you all, so I am a tongue talker. Hallelujah. I have been on the backside of the desert talking to God, praying in tongues, and look what God has showed me. I have been imparted with wisdom to show you how to be led of the Lord and how to walk after him. Folks, I can't thank God enough for my infilling. It's awesome. It is awesome. And I never, ever want to take it for granted and say, oh, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got the greatest gift that I'll ever get. Amen. Because, folks, the third person of the Godhead lives on the inside of me.
That's right.
And if you're filled, he lives on the inside of you.
Amen.
Now, that is hanging out with top brass. Amen. When he lives on the inside and he directs your every step, and he tells you every word to say and what you maybe should cook for supper. I don't know, but he could do it if he wanted to. Amen. He could give you an idea. Sometimes we get in a brick wall on that. But you know, our God is an awesome God and he knows everything. Yeah. He probably knows what your husband would like to have that night. He might tell you that. I don't know. But it is wonderful to have him living on the inside, directing my every step. Praise God. All right, Pastor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm good for that.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, we can listen. I can listen for hours. And even miss a meal. There's nothing that can replace life experience.
Well, that's true.
And this sister's lived some life, and Jesus has been with her. So I want you to stand with me right now. We're going to take a few minutes here. Naomi's talked a lot about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I know there may be some people here that you say, I've never received that yet. And you say, I've never received that yet. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If that's you today, this is your day. Well, we're going to have her pray over you and ask the Lord to just fill you, baptize you, immerse you in the Holy Spirit. It's an experience that is a gift for each one of us. Amen. It's for you. It's for me. And we need it. Jesus said to his disciples, you need this.
Amen.
And if they needed it after living with Jesus for 3 years and seeing the Son of God in action, how much more do we? Amen. So if that's you today, you want the Lord to fill you with his Spirit, we're just going to take a few minutes here, make an altar, and let Sister Naomi pray over you to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. If you need anything else in your life right now, you need a healing in your body, you need the Lord's touch or a breakthrough in any area at all, we'll open the altars for that too. Just come on up. And we're just going to allow a few minutes here for the Holy Ghost to come and to move powerfully. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got anointing oil here. I'm going to have my sister anoint you if you need prayer for your bodies for healing. And then we're going to just flow with the Holy Ghost here for a few minutes.